Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
We're starting with a somber tone.
Yeah, yes. Which I think is respectful.
It's respectful. Yeah, it's respectful.
And also honest, because it's been
a hellish
such
2 weeks.
A strange
yeah.
2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. It's been hellish. It's actually, it is a hellscape.
Yeah. And it's completely unclear sort of what's going on.
That is the other part of it. It kind of is never ending, one might say. We are, of course, talking about the LA fires. We are currently both living in Los Angeles and they continue to burn.
Mm-hmm.
There is some level of containment on both sides. It's on the west side and the east side. But they burn on, essentially.
Yeah.
The air is bad.
Yeah.
Better in some parts, worse in others, but overall bad. A lot of people are masked outside. You kind of should be. Some people are really going rogue with it, like running.
I know.
I'm
it's
like,
scary.
Get off the streets, you silly goose.
I know.
Take out those AirPods and, you know, get on the treadmill.
No, to see a woman with like lavender Beats on, just like outside.
Stop.
I'm like,
don't you use the Beats by Dre name in vain?
No.
Don't you take that name in vain? No, Beats by Dre is my former employer, and I will not hear a bad word. An incredible employer.
And I'm sure that they are noise canceling.
They are comfort forward. Yes,
they
have transparency mode. If you hold them down, you can hear everything that's going on in the world without taking them off. Not sponsored, but should be.
Yeah.
But no, one silver lining is that my walking pad, which has been an offer up for, I don't know, maybe a year and a half.
Oh my God.
Got some hits.
Thank God.
Yeah. People said, where is this located?
Oh, wow.
And I said Hollywood and they didn't respond. But,
perfect.
You know, it's good to get traffic moving. And I think that is a direct response to people being inside.
Oh my God. That makes so much sense.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Whoa. Yeah. I was in North Carolina when this all broke out and it was the strangest thing in the entire world because everyone I know was in different parts of the city. Everyone I know had different levels of awareness of what's going on. People were finding out. The Sunset Fire broke out like very close to you.
Yeah.
And it's just been...
Well, what's been really unfortunate about that is... So the Sunset Fire broke out in like a running canyon, like where famous people go hiking all the time. And it's very much like in the Hollywood Hills, directly above West Hollywood, like Chateau Marmont, the Sunset Strip, that the whole nine. And David Lynch obviously passed last week.
I know.
He had emphysema, which people are, you know, directly relating to the smoke from the Sunset Fire. He lived really close by in Hollywood and loved Hollywood famously, loved LA. The arsonist that started that's manslaughter.
Yeah. I can't believe.
You have to live with that.
I can't fathom.
I know.
Starting a fire.
And there have been so many.
I know. I mean, they still don't know the cause. I mean, it seems like the Eaton one could have been a down power line.
Yeah.
Palisades still unclear.
Well, that was the thing about the Sunset Fire is that there were no power lines. There was no reason for there to be a flame over there.
I know.
So we thank you for sticking with us.
And I hope everyone's okay.
Yeah.
Taking care of yourselves.
Yes.
And just, my God.
And if you're feeling really overwhelmed about helping, I know that I was. It's difficult to know where to put your resources. And if you have time, if you're time rich and financially poor or vice versa, whatever way you want to contribute, we have a full list of resources, non-paywalled on our Patreon, just public. And you can go to that at patreon.com/uncovergirl. And you can just see we've compiled like everything, every organization that has kind of been vetted, the events that are supporting wildfire relief, the animal shelters that desperately need help, like just all the ways that you can give back. But you were in North Carolina. I was home alone. And I packed up the cats. I put them in their little bags. And I was like, I was right on the evac border. So I was getting calls from friends being like, you got to go. You got to get out of there. And I was like, well, fuck. So I'm packing up my life. I realized that I can pretty much leave everything behind.
Yeah.
For sure. I took 2 gowns because what else am I taking?
Of course.
Other than beautiful beaded dresses. And I eventually went down to Orange County and I stayed there for a full week. I got a hotel room for me and the cats, and I was totally solo.
That is crazy, especially when it's like you can't like call a friend to be like, do you want to grab coffee or something?
No.
It's just like, oh, what is there to do? Just be on my own.
Dining alone every night, like that fear dissipates really quick.
Yeah.
When you have no other choice but just to walk into a restaurant and say table for one, just the one.
Yeah. Were you on your phone or did you just like look around the restaurant?
No, I took my laptop every time.
You did?
Yeah, and I opened my laptop and I had my laptop there.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yep.
Sometimes I like to truly like raw dog it and sit there and not even look, like no book, no phone, like no, just staring into the faces of strangers around me.
And I mean, that's what Carrie Bradshaw recommended. That's what she said to do. However, it's not that it's just that it's boring. It's actually just boring.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I think I would do that during the eating portion. But during the waiting portion, it was just so Les Miserables.
And you're never more aware than when you're alone of how much waiting there is.
Yeah.
It's a lot of like the actual interaction, pretty brief. Mm-hmm. Sort of like, hi, spicy margarita with a tahini rim, please.
Yes.
Pause. Mm-hmm. Pause, 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 pause. Then you speak up to say what you want.
Yep.
And then after that, not much more to say.
I did have an incredible moment dining alone, though. I won't lie to you. I had a waitress come up to me and say, hey, we've got like a couple of specials tonight. Would you like to hear them? And I was at kind of like a red sauce family Italian joint. And you know me, I never go for the special. I'm like, that's going to be $47.50. Yeah. And can't be swinging dicks like that out here in these streets. No, no, no. Making it rain. And I said, go on. Give me the special. She said, house lasagna and a garlic bread for $12.95.
Oh.
And I said, wow,
special.
Sold.
Yeah.
I'll take one of those.
Oh my God.
And it came, I got an $8 glass of house wine and I was absolutely living.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Thriving.
That's perfect.
But I do have an inspiration and it is related to all of this.
Yeah.
I have been absolutely obsessed with the 2010s pop star revival that has come out of the LA fires with the houses burning down of Heidi Montag and Leighton Meester.
I know.
Because people have been like, my God, how do we support these families that we've known, that we've watched for so long, that we've loved for so long? I mean, look, Adam Brody and Leighton Meester were going to the Golden Globes on Sunday night and their house had burnt down by Wednesday, 3 days later.
I know.
So, I mean, talk about a peak and a pit of the week.
Yeah.
I mean, not to minimize at all, what a terrible tragedy for them.
Yeah.
But the fact that people resurfaced her old music, Cobra Starship, Good Girls Go Bad, you know it, you love it.
The video.
Oh,
I mean, lives in my
the
brain.
The speakeasy video.
Yeah.
I will never forget. Genius. Oh yeah. My God. And then Heidi Montag with what is like one of the best songs that I forgot that beat.
Yeah.
Came from that song. It is so superb. I have listened to that song more times than I've listened to any other song on the planet. I have streamed that song on repeat the entire week.
No way!
Sped up version, slowed down version, regular version.
Yeah.
You name it, I'm going to listen to it. It was just so inspiring.
I had forgotten completely that she had music in her background.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like entirely. And I was a Hills devotee. I soaked it up. I watched The Hills and I watched it again. And then when I finished, I would start it all over.
You're freaking me out.
And I forgot. And that's, I mean, we forget ourselves if we don't remind ourselves who we are.
Did you know that they filmed an entire alternate ending to The Hills with Lauren, like with LC and Brody Jenner? You know
yes.
That? Have you seen that clip?
The alternate ending?
Yes. It's,
no.
It's very odd.
Whoa.
It's like Brody saying goodbye to Kristen Cavallari. And then he goes home, presumably some like apartment. And Elsie is there. She flips her like blonde tresses over her shoulder. And she goes, hey, you okay? And he goes, yeah, I just kind of had to say goodbye to someone. And she goes, goodbyes are tough. And he goes, yeah. And then they pause for dramatic effect. And then she goes, and laughs. And that's the end of The Hills. That's the end of The Hills. I got chills just describing it because it is so outlandish a concept. First of all, it should have been the ending rather than dropping the Hollywood sign backdrop. Yeah. I mean, come on.
No.
It is so, she literally does this giggle and then sticks her tongue between her teeth, Emma Roberts style.
Oh yeah.
Like it's indelible. It's etched. It's a core memory, I would say.
And this is stirring something up in me.
Oh my God. Wait, should I just play it?
Honestly, we should post it is what needs to happen.
Oh my God, we'll post it. That's we'll ridiculous. It.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Of course, like, of course. We won't waste your time
now.
We're
not going to waste your time now.
We'll enrich your day later.
I'm getting carried away.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. Us just living our lives on here. Right. Living out loud.
I know, living out loud. God, yeah. We're going to stop doing that.
I know.
No, I mean, that the Heidi Montag Spencer Pratt, I have been crying watching clips of them, just being like, thank you to everyone who
I know
is showing up. The fact that she did a full music video for it, she turned that out in a week for her track, I'll Do It, and she's number one on iTunes now. I mean, come on. It's good stuff.
You know what those two people know how to do?
Market themselves?
Laugh along.
Oh!
Those are two that laugh along.
And how relevant is that to this profile today? I mean, okay.
I know.
We don't want to get there yet because we've got so much to talk about. What is your inspiration?
My inspiration is that after a long period of darkness, I'm dreaming again.
We come to these microphones and I never know what you're going to say.
No. And every... There is no through line at all.
You are one of the most unpredictable people I have ever met. One time you came with like a spilt beetroot salad as like an inspiration. And
oh my
I was
God,
like,
right.
I could never
imagine
have seen that coming.
No, and I think it's because I really obsess over the little things. Like, yeah. My life is a collection of little moments. It's not the time in between big moments to me. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't imagine living that way.
No.
So every day I look around and I say, oh my God. My neighbor left their plastic crow in their front yard. I wonder when they're going to scoop it up.
No, you are the American Beauty quote. That's like the plastic bag flying in the wind. What? That is you. That is literally you.
I know.
And it kills me that you don't post on Instagram more because you have the most stunning collection of like one-off odd dump ready photos in your camera. It drives me crazy.
I do. I'm just walking around all day being like, oh my God, like that plastic toy fell in the shape of a flower.
So romantic. Like, you've got to post this shit, dude. People would laugh it up.
You choose, actually. I could talk about my dreams or I could talk about baking bread.
I think it's the bread.
I'll talk about the bread. And you know what? I'll post the bread on the page.
Post the bread.
I'll post the bread. Post this the will bread. Be where the bread goes.
I think, honestly, the Patreon. The bread needs to go to the Patreon. It is that impressive.
Thank you so much.
I gasp.
Oh, my God.
I gasp with the beauty. More than on your wedding day. It shocks me more.
And honestly, there is a real journey here. There's a story, which is that since I was very young, we have a tradition, Serbian New Year's, which is why I was in North Carolina, was to celebrate Serbian Christmas with my family. So you either do it on Christmas or on New Year's, where you bake a bread and you tuck a little penny inside. And then every member of the household chooses a slice. And if your slice has the penny inside of it, it's your year. You have luck for the year, sort of like blessings fall upon you wherever you go.
So sad for the people that don't pull out the slice. So they're just getting fat and unlucky.
But you have two chances of winning, because we also set aside a piece for the house.
Okay.
And that's like sort of like the household, the house. And if the house gets it, then like you're all lucky.
Okay.
And this year the house got it for us. But I have been doing this since college. So I've been gathering like all of my friends in a room together, even when we were children, and drinking Svedka while we did this. I've been gathering us all.
Okay.
And making a penny bread every year. First year I did it, the penny bread itself, failure. Raw in the middle, didn't rise at all, fucked it all up completely. And it's been sort of a back and forth where like some years it turns out, some years I cook it for too long, some years I cook it not long enough and it's a little doughy, and it's just, bread is easy, but it's hard. The ingredients of bread are flour, water, and a pinch of salt.
Yeast. You're right.
Like nothing more.
Gotta rise.
Yeah, that's it. That's three ingredients and you just mix it all together and you put it in a pan.
Isn't it crazy? That creates my favorite food.
Yeah.
Like, you could really suffocate me in bread, and that's my preferred way of death. Like,
I know.
God.
It's so good. And in all forms.
I also
bagel
just wanna,
bread.
Can I set people free nutritionally for just 1 second?
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends at the moment doing like stuff that's like grain free. Yeah. Grain free, like carb free. I just want to make this very clear for the women listening. Most of those studies /all of them have been done on men. What has been proven since is that women absolutely need carbohydrates for our hormones to function.
Me like this in a church. Hands up, shaking. Talk louder into the mic.
You literally need carbs. And whether that comes in the form of like rice or like any type of grain, like bread is my drug of choice. Like, you got to have that. You got to have it. Eat the bread. Eat the bread.
Well, think about right now. And I wherever you are, think about this right now. Think about how you feel before you've had a bowl of pasta.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how you feel after you've had a bowl of pasta.
I think that's maybe a bad example because a lot of people feel quite sluggish. And some people have gluten intolerance.
I don't care about any of that.
Okay. Okay.
I love it.
Okay.
I love the stuff.
All right. All right.
Maybe a bite of pasta.
I was going to go like lower. Like lower. Peanut butter toast. Like.
Peanut butter toast.
Okay.
A lot of people have peanut allergies.
You know what? You know
most
what?
Most common one. Actually.
No. I'm gonna bring it back home. I'm gonna land the plane.
Yeah.
When you arrive at the restaurant and they put fresh focaccia your table
there
with a little bit of olive oil and balsamic.
Couldn't be more simple.
That is better than sex. Better than crack cocaine. I can't imagine. I haven't had it, but I imagine. That is heaven itself.
Yeah, it is.
On the table.
It is. And it's warm and it's so comforting.
It's light and it's stretchy.
Yeah.
And it's got that molten salt, flaky salt on top. God. And a crispy top.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, that is necessary for our bodies to function. Not for men. Men don't need it. And that's one of the many things about men that is like sad for them.
Yeah.
And we won there.
Yeah.
We didn't win in many arenas, but there we beat them.
No, certainly.
Yeah.
We're making less annually.
Yeah.
Year after year.
But we can eat bread and stay svelte.
And we should.
And they get bellies.
Yeah.
And that's that on that.
There we go. Set free.
Set free.
And I baked a loaf. And this year the loaf came out better than any loaf I've ever baked. Yeah. I had decor, I braided bread, which I've always wanted to do. I did the full like Serbian Orthodox Christmas bread.
No, to my beautiful Ago that's listening, I don't think she's underselling it. It had baby birds made out of dough on top of the bread. It was actually insane. I mean, we're going to post a picture because you won't be able to believe it. This is like, for the deep cut Uggos out there, this is like Ricardo level craftsmanship of like Ricardo showing up with a dress for me. This was like how impressive and unbelievable this loaf of bread was.
Oh my God, thank you.
It was unreal.
And
that
it tasted
inspiring.
Good. It was a milk bread. I made a milk bread.
Oh my
so
God.
So it was doughy. It was fantastic. It was everything.
And you made chicken pot pie this week.
I did. I made them the same day.
Holy
shit. One after another. They were in the oven at the same time.
It made me sick how quickly my mind went, and I do this with Chris all the time, where I just go, you gotta monetize that.
I know.
Like,
me selling
pies. When are you gonna sell that?
I know.
It's like one can't just enjoy a beautiful afternoon of baking bread and pot pie. One must turn it into a reel.
I know. Me opening my pie shop begrudgingly because you... I used to New Zealand.
Yeah.
Me like, are you really?
You've got a skill.
Ivani's pies. I made a New Zealand pot pie also. The recipe was like specifically like, this is a New Zealand specialty. And I honored you in that way.
Thank you. Thank you.
Of course.
God, I gotta say, I wish I was there right now.
I know.
The clean air. No. I'm happy to be standing alongside fellow Angelinos.
And everyone has really risen up to the occasion. It's been the sweetest thing in the world to see. That is like the one bright light is how...
Real community.
Yeah. Community care, how we actually have abundance all around us. We just need to ask for help.
Totally. Yeah. No, that has been, that's also been inspiring.
Yeah.
But speaking of a famous Angelino.
Yeah.
And someone who, my God, lifts us up.
I know.
Like no one else.
Was directly affected by the fires, lost their home in the fires as well. That's why we chose her sort of for this week. It's Paris Hilton.
I mean, it's crazy we haven't done her already.
I know.
The icon that she is. The woman who created Kim Kardashian.
She is.
It's kind of blasphemy that we did Kim before her.
Almost. I agree. It's not respectful.
I mean, she is the mother of reality television.
Yep.
I mean, from her, if you think about it, like if we really trace it back, from her we have Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. You know, we have, because we have the Kathy Hilton, we have the Carl Richards. I mean, to rewatch that pilot, which I did recently, it is Kyle Richards and Kim Richards name dropping her like you wouldn't believe.
Yes, our niece.
Our niece. Our niece Paris.
Yeah.
Yeah, our niece Paris.
Oh my God.
And in the pilot for Keeping Up.
Yeah.
It was, I was Paris's closet organizer this, Paris that.
And here I am now on the scene because mm-hmm. she brought me in.
Yeah.
And I mean, The Simple Life lives on. And
it's canon.
It's canon.
Yep.
It's camp.
Yep.
It's cult.
Yep.
And she can always do both, where she's like at the forefront of culture and everyone is accusing her of being overexposed.
Yeah.
Yet she has a cult following the whole time.
I mean, I talk about being in on the joke. She just like always is in lockstep with the flow of the zeitgeist. And even when we feel like we're laughing at her, we're laughing with her.
I know.
And she's laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah. And she should, because she's also not had an easy life. And I know that there, you know, sometimes it can feel like there's not enough room in all of our brains to hear about the plights of rich white women. I get it. I really do. But this one is unique, and she has used her platform for good.
Yeah.
As she's using it right now. I have seen video after video of her helping people after losing her home as well.
There's an incredible video which we shared with each other of her, I think at maybe the Pasadena Humane Society, touching a cat.
Just raising awareness about this
just
cat.
Raising awareness about, like, you can adopt these cats that have been rescued from the fire.
Yeah, or like, if this is your cat, please reach out.
Yes, and her voice is, you know, and this is the cat that's like up for adoption. And this, the woman behind the camera is like, oh my God, it's really strange that he's being so loving and friendly towards you. They really, in their cages, do not, you know, feel comfortable like this. And Paris is literally like, mm-hmm, yeah, of course. And it's like, this girl has the best energy on the planet.
I know.
Like, I want to be next to her.
I want to be next to her.
Yeah.
I want to be in her light.
Like, she is like, what's it called? ESA? A comfort animal? Emotional support animal?
My God. Yeah.
She's my chosen ESA.
I know. And this profile, it catches her in such a fascinating moment. It's the year before her debut album comes out. Let me just start with 2005.
Okay,
let me
please.
Set the scene
please.
Here. Because my fucking God, this year. So this is Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. This is the Oprah couch jumping incident.
Did they get married this year?
Let me see their actual anniversary. Tom Cruise.
I feel like it maybe was, maybe it was, did he jump after their wedding?
They got married in 2006.
Oh, okay. So he jumped before their wedding.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's Brad Pitt and Angelina, the rumors on the set of Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah. The affair started.
Yeah. It's Britney marries Kevin Federline and gives birth to her first child.
Yeah. Also a choice.
Yeah. Kanye West releases his second album and... I mean, like, is already respected, but now, like, blowing up in a huge way.
What is really crazy is all those people are exactly the same age.
Yeah.
Paris, Britney, Kanye, Kim are all born, like, 1980, 1981, 1982. Like, they're all literally the same age.
Like, true peers.
Yeah. True peers. Like, we'd be in high school together.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like, we're all seniors together. Like, whoa. Kim is 1980 and Paris is 81.
Oh my
and
God.
Then Britney, can I just look really quick?
Yeah. Actually, I'm so fascinated by that.
Okay, wait.
And I'll continue with Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt divorce.
Oh, yes.
So it's sort of like these rumors start swirling. Britney's, the divorce happens.
Britney's 81.
Yeah.
Okay.
So same as Paris.
Same exact year as Paris. Let's look at Kanye. Oh, 77. A couple years older.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
Kanye.
Tracks.
Yeah. It does. Brokeback Mountain comes out. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. You know.
All the good ones.
Yeah. Those are two films. If you like one, you like the other.
I mean, it's gay men making magic.
Exactly. American Idol. Carrie Underwood wins season 4 of American Idol.
Wow.
Launching her into superstardom.
And isn't she back?
Yeah. Isn't
well,
she?
Wait, this is 20 years later, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Exactly 20
years later.
It's
been 20 years since 2005. I just want to... bring that to your attention. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Oh my God. And Carrie Underwood is about to be singing at the inauguration. You will have probably already seen it.
We have seen it yesterday.
Watched. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. When this comes out, she will have done that.
Yeah. which is interesting.
Interesting choice.
Yeah.
What do you make of that? Just as a quick aside. I mean, everyone was like, oh my God, that's it. That's over for her. She's alienated her gay fan base. But I'm like, I swear she'll have more Trump voting supporters, like Trump voting fans, than she will liberal fans. Like,
I think so too.
Right?
I mean, the country
voted red.
World. Yeah, the country voted red.
Yeah.
And country music, it's sort of like a lot of dog whistles in country music where they're like, you know, we want to get this country back.
Yeah.
And it's like, to what are you referring?
Yes.
And so I think it makes sense that a lot of her country fans are pro. And I also think that her generation, and I think a lot of people do this sort of, I mean, it's how all these folks sent out like big congratulations after he won the election, saying like, you know, we want to respect the like peaceful transfer of power.
Yeah,
we wish him the best love him, actually.
Yeah. It's like, it's Mark Zuckerberg falling over himself to kiss his feet.
No, no, exactly.
No, it's going to be interesting.
It will.
It's going to be interesting, to put it mildly.
Mildly. I can't believe it all begins again. So that's 2005. Everyone is in the news. 50 Cent also had a big year in 2005.
He did have Candy a big Shop. Year. I love that man.
I know.
I love that man more than anyone on the planet.
Me too. That remains one of my favorite episodes that we've ever done.
I think ever. It's a must listen.
It's really special. Like, yeah. He's really special.
He's oh my God. This is great interview with him that just resurfaced. I don't know if you've seen it, but he's like, this interview is like to him, so you are often pictured with a drink. And he goes, yeah. And she goes, but you don't drink. And he goes, no. And she goes, why do you do that? And he goes, I also sold crack cocaine. I didn't smoke it.
Wow.
That man. Man is operating a level so far ahead from the rest of us.
Oh my God, yeah.
Just with a glass full of Ciroc. Just like, I take it to the candy shop. And he's never taking a sip.
Discipline. Oh my God.
He's in another tier.
Yeah.
It's God status, kind of.
Yeah.
Like the way when the Diddy scandal hit and he literally just went, told you, haha.
I know.
Hate to say it.
Yeah.
Like, I've been saying it for years.
He's just like above it all. He's above it all.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. God, I love him.
Yeah, me too. So that's where we are. And it is insane that the headline of this article is The Inescapable Paris. And here we are, 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
She's on all of our feeds.
Yep.
She's on the news. Everyone's aware of her. Everyone's watching her. Everyone's celebrating her kids, her marriage, her love, her life, her everything. And mourning with her as her home sort of went away. I hate to put it like that.
Me trying to find a euphemism.
Her home went away. It did.
Wizard of Oz style. Her home went away.
Yeah, it went away.
Yeah.
It did. And I'm so sorry.
I'm going to cut this out because it's so insensitive.
Well, what do I say instead? Yeah, okay, wait. We'll start again. I'll
No. Her kay. Home burned to
her
the
home
ground.
Burned down. That also seems.
Does it sound?
That sounds
is that too
a
harsh?
Little. That's dramatized, which is true,
but that's what happened.
Yeah,
her home burnt up.
Her home
burnt down.
Burnt down.
Yeah.
Burnt down to the ground is the thing that kind of
to the ground.
Okay,
that's enough.
She's everywhere. She's on the news. She's on our phones. She's on our feeds.
Yep.
We're all mourning with her after her home burned down. And she's still here. She's inescapable. Her music, I mean, people are still playing it.
Do you know her net worth currently? I don't. I'm sorry that I'm asking you these like really intense questions.
No, I love to research. I think it's powerful. And everyone, let me know. It feels like ASMR when we start typing. I like it when I re-listen to episodes to hear you be like, oh, let's see, net worth. Because her name is, of course, connected to
The Hilton Hotels.
The Hilton Hotels.
But they, as far as I know, did not make any money from, she made no money from the Hilton Hotels. They have no direct connection to it because they sold that hotel chain prior to Rick Hilton, yeah, who's her dad, like even coming of age.
Yeah. For sure. Okay. Well, there. What do you think the Hilton's family overall wealth and estimated net worth is?
Like 200 million, like not that much.
14.2 billion.
Oh, wait. Oh, Hilton family.
Hilton family.
Oh, my God. Sorry. I thought you meant the nuclear family.
No.
Oh, 14. Okay. 14 billion. Okay.
14 billion.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
But I know that Conrad Hilton made away with a lot of that money. Like the older brother, like Rick Hilton, did not see that money.
Yeah.
So like that is why Paris is like actually self-made, can be described as self-made. Even though she, well, don't give me that look.
Yeah. I mean, self-made for LA. Kardashian self-made.
Yeah. It's like had a good name, had some connections. High mother was a socialite, but could not have done any of this. Like could have probably ended up like.
Just living in Brentwood.
Yeah, just living in Brentwood.
Yeah. Happy, certainly with money. But
like a Sophia Richie type, maybe. Even on a lesser scale.
So let's dive in. I mean, the profile is written by Krista Smith, who now works at Netflix, but was formerly Vanity Fair's executive West Coast editor and like ambassador to Hollywood. She, I mean, was always profiling for the Vanity section and helped do the Hollywood issue, which I feel like is very famous and fun. And she's here with a 24-year-old Paris Hilton.
Whoa.
And it's so interesting. I feel like I want to address this up front because if anyone knows Paris, I think the issue that she has talked about so much is sort of her troubled upbringing, the wilderness camps, and she's done so much advocacy. And I think it's fascinating. We're not going to hear about that at all.
No.
In any way in this profile. And it feels like I kept waiting. And then I remembered that she only went public with this in 2020.
I know.
So recent. I cannot imagine her moving through all of this, getting called dumb, getting called vapid, just like she's never gone through anything, and knowing the whole time
that she was locked in a cell
and like is now actively and still it's a lifelong like PTSD sticks with you, stays with you.
Yeah.
And so I felt a need to do like almost a disclaimer, like it's not coming up here. This is only fun and sparkles and glitter, and she's clearly, there's more to her than meets the eye. And I think that that's like the thesis, and that's what everyone has to say, both then and now and always. Anyone that knows her knows that. So the profile, which has some incredible photographs by, of course, Mario Testino.
Oh, I know. I was going to say RIP, but he's still alive.
He's just horrible.
He's not alive in the industry.
No. But it's like they didn't have another photographer on call but him.
No.
Every single goddamn photo was by him. Yes. For years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he really took advantage of that power. Yeah,
he did. He absolutely did. He did.
God.
God damn it.
Even the gays run away with it.
The profile opens thus. Gay Pride weekend. I'm not joking. Gay Pride weekend in Los Angeles is underway, and a massive crowd has gathered to celebrate all things gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender. Early on Sunday morning, a sun-soaked Santa Monica Boulevard is already teeming with revelers. Everyone's waiting for the start of this year's parade, which will be led by co-grand marshals Paris Hilton and her mother, Kathy. At 11 a.m., 24-year-old Paris arrives in her dark green custom-built Ferrari. She's dressed in a demure yellow gold beaded gown with an empire waist and escorted by Tinkerbell, her chihuahua, who is attired in fuchsia satin.
So chic. So beautiful.
So beautiful. Kathy looks pristine in white trousers, a white hat, and a white Chanel wraparound sundress, and carries a pink parasol. As Paris's father, Rick, records everything with his camcorder, mother and daughter are hoisted 10 feet up into a bright pink float shaped like a Volkswagen Beetle, and the parade begins. At the sight of the Hilton women, the crowd goes crazy. Drag queens are yelling, "Hi, sexy." Paris is like, "You're gorgeous. I love you." 20-something lesbians look on in disbelief. "I had no idea Paris Hilton was gay," says one, to which the other responds, "I know. That's so cool." Her engaged to a man at this time.
And one of the most like straight-looking like woman alive. Like the... And
I know.
She's in lingerie in this cover story. Yeah. A lingerie and a fur coat.
I know.
I had no idea she was gay.
Yeah. And crowd work, we forget how powerful crowd work can be in journalism to borrow what is happening like around the star.
Totally.
It sets a scene. It becomes 4D in that way. It's the IMAX experience for the written word.
And we just never get it these days with the goddamn Zoom interviews, do we?
No.
And you know why? Because we get paid $400 a story, baby girl.
And we get 15 minutes.
We have 15
It's like, what, I'm going to drive an hour to get 15 minutes and drive all the way back?
Yeah.
As if.
Can you believe I got offered $400 for a cover story this week?
I can't.
It's... What was crazy was the word count, like the base level. Like, we want 2,000 words. And this is the budget that we have, 400. So you're good with that?
Oh.
That's under 25 cents a word. That's like less than I've actually heard recently.
That's so bad.
It's really bad.
And I really think there's this idea that it's like, oh my God, how much? It must have been 5,000 at least. Paid to write a cover story.
Oh, right. Like people still believe that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think Sex and the City's not doing us any favors with Carrie Bradshaw's $4 a word.
I know.
No.
Yeah. And that I think that idea still persists.
Yeah. Yeah.
That people are managing to like make money somehow.
No.
Off this gig.
No. And you know who is paying like the most fairly these days? Random one-off Substacks.
Yes.
Like pitch this Substack written by that's run by a former editor somewhere. And that's who's doing like fair wages.
What a way for the world to have gone.
Okay.
Onwards we go.
Onwards we go. Krista writes, as millions around the world can attest with the confidence of an eyewitness, Paris Hilton is not gay, but she's canny enough to be cultivating a gay fan base, which, as Cher and Madonna have shown, can extend one's career indefinitely. And that's goddamn true.
Tell me about it.
She's a smart businesswoman. She's a smart businesswoman.
I love that she is taken seriously here, even at this point, and acknowledged as smart. Like, you can tell that Krista is treating her like serious subject matter.
Yes.
And I don't know how many people have done this up until this point. How many other journalists would have done this?
No, and I think it really does paint the point that it was a tabloid story that she was dumb.
Yeah.
It's a tabloid sort of big frenzy of like, dumb drunk girl.
Yes.
And sure. She was drunk in the public eye once or twice. The Bimbo Summit wouldn't have happened without that. But she has a lot to offer.
She was also 21 in the public eye.
Yeah.
I had a 21st birthday in the public eye.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'd love to see all of your photos from your 21st birthday.
Absolutely. You will.
And try to stand 10 toes behind that.
Yeah. Oh, I do not. I don't.
No.
I don't.
What did I do for mine?
Oh, I know what I did. I know what I looked like.
You did?
And it was a baby blue gown with a matching baby blue satin choker. And
that
stays
beautiful.
With me.
That's
that
beautiful.
That stays with me.
And even then, there's like someone, you know, someone watching the floats go by and it's like, who's that? Her friend replies, oh, honey, that's Paris Hilton. You know, the girl that's famous for being Paris Hilton. And Krista takes umbrage with this. She says, despite her reputation for lacking any discernible talents, Paris Whitney Hilton, born February 17th, 1981, has transfixed the nation and increasingly the world. Everyone assumed, I mean, truly everyone did, that she would be famous for like 15 minutes and then go away.
Yeah.
Because this is something that does happen, and it is still happening now, where I don't know if you saw the footage of like Gwyneth Paltrow's daughter, Apple.
Yeah.
At the debutante
ball in Paris.
At the debutante ball. And how many other,
yep,
you know, girlies from good families were there at that debutante ball. And we are obsessed with what it is to grow up a rich girl.
I have to tell you something.
What?
My dandruff is back in a big way.
No.
I know. I don't know what to do.
Okay. Well, I have something to share with you that may help. Do you remember when my dandruff came back and I tried everything but using a dandruff product? Like, I even got those like towel headband things to wash my face because I assumed it was my cleanser. Like, I just did everything but go to the source, which is, I gotta say, Noumi's Dandruff Defense. Dude, it is so good. It's light. It's like you leave, your hair is clean, but it doesn't feel weighed down the way that some shampoos and conditioners does. But it also doesn't strip it of its natural oils. I understand that's a lot for it to achieve, but it really pulls it off.
No, and I have heard that to get rid of dandruff, it has to be antibacterial, antifungal. And I know those words obviously don't sound sexy, but the results certainly are.
No, it's incredible. I mean, this dandruff shampoo and conditioner are packed with amino acids. They enhance shine, protect hair from all environmental stresses, which is so clutch, especially if you live in like a very, very dry environment. You kind of just need, summer sun, winter cold, you name it. You just kind of need that extra help. And it has just like the formula is amazing. It is lightweight. It doesn't like bog your hair down, but at the same time, it's shiny, voluminous. It is incredible. There's argan and tea tree oil that soothes the scalp. You know, it's scalp first all the way. Everything starts with the scalp.
Everything when I tell you. Okay, how do I get it? I need it.
Okay, you can go straight to numehair.com. That's numehair.com. And if you want a little discount, put the code UNCOVER at checkout. That's UNCOVER, UNCOVER at checkout for 15% off. And honestly, Ivana, while you're there, I know I'm keeping you for so long, but their hair straightener, $100 and incredible. The best one I've ever used. And I've used a lot. As you know, my hair is perpetually straight. I will not live any other way. So I cannot recommend this brand enough. I absolutely love it. And the product itself, Dandruff Defense Shampoo and Conditioner. Dude, you got to get on it immediately.
Okay. It's time to be flake free. I'm ready to go.
NumiHair.com, 15% off with the code UNCOVER. Flake free.
I'm on it.
The Click series was all about that.
I mean, Gossip Girl was all about that. Come on.
Yeah. And she's not the first heiress, beautiful heiress, to make headlines.
Yep.
I love that she harkens back to like 1938 with Brenda Fraser, who's like a very famous, beautiful heiress who unfortunately attempted suicide 31 times.
Oh, no.
And then there was Barbara Hutton, who she
was beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. There was,
she was the Woolworth heiress, worth like $50 million.
Yeah.
Which is a lot.
I know.
Back then.
And then Doris Duke, tobacco heiress.
Worth $100 million.
And like they were in the news all the time.
Yeah. And back then journalists were using the word like celebutante, which became like the new kind of like moniker for these women.
Yeah.
Half celebrity, half debutante.
Yeah. And like socialites who are just like running through the scene, getting married, getting divorced, and all of these things are making news.
Yeah. And we get into the numbers here, which I find so fascinating because it sounds like chump change compared to what she's worth now. But Krista writes that while she's the 21st century's version of the poor little rich girl, the rules have changed. There's nothing poor about her. She is estimated to inherit $30 million.
Such a little sum.
Us being like $30 million.
Yeah.
Of the family fortune, and she had an income last year of close to $7 million,
which that is impressive.
No, that's yearly, the impressive part.
Yeah,
the inheritance isn't a lot.
No,
the $7 million salary. I'll take
interesting.
That.
Interesting.
I'll
very
take that.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
But then this is the part that absolutely grips me.
The more we mock, ridicule, and criticize Hilton for being a vapid, narcissistic bimbo with money, the more obsessed we become with her. When she loses her dog, it becomes national news, despite the fact that many Americans have never heard her speak more than the two words, "That's hot."
And this is where I tip my hat to Krista. She's taking her seriously. She's taking her seriously. She's not being like, she's worth us mocking this narcissistic bimbo. She is saying, we've got her all wrong.
Yeah.
And like, actually the onus is on us.
We're playing right into her
hand. We're playing right into her hand. Turn the camera around.
Yeah.
You dumb fucks.
I know.
That's what Krista is saying here.
And you know what is also so crazy?
What?
For anyone that followed along, it did become national news 2 years ago when Paris Hilton lost her dog, Diamond Baby. Do you remember that?
So,
the search for Diamond Baby?
No,
the 18-day search for Diamond Baby?
I've never heard of Diamond Baby.
You don't know about Diamond Baby?
No.
I cried about Diamond Baby.
No, you did not.
I did because she put out a plea, like, and I could tell, like, an emotional plea of like, please, 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 please. Someone left a door open and Diamond Baby ran out.
No. Is Diamond Baby a chihuahua?
Yes.
No.
And she was not seen again.
She was never found.
She was never found.
Fuck the coyotes.
No, for sure.
Oh,
and that's
for sure.
And that's what they posit. But this was 2023. Everyone is posting about the search for Diamond
like,
Baby.
Like, find Diamond
day
Baby.
Day 7, Diamond Baby, like, not found still.
Whoa.
And can you imagine having that kind of, I mean, hold.
Like, yeah.
Literally. Hold. It is national news.
I mean, Krista writes, was it her destiny to become such a pop cultural star as opposed to a real one? Or was our need for such a figure so great that we created her?
I know. And then Naomi Wolf, who's author of The Beauty Myth, How Images of Beauty Are Used Against Women, says something so haunting to me.
Yeah.
And so true. She says, she's the perfect Bush era heroine because she's all style and no content.
Yes.
People want to be soothed right now. And there is something about Paris Hilton that's soothing.
That was the first thing I sent to you when we found this profile and comparing it to that clip of her with the cat.
Yeah.
It is so deeply soothing. You're so put at ease by everything about her, her voice, her presence, the way she's just like stroking this cat. It's just, it is tranquility personified. And like this quote from 20 years ago just shook me to my core that we're seeing this printed on the page.
She feels unflappable to me.
Yeah, that's exactly
even
what
it is. Even with the that's hot.
Yeah.
You know, she was never this like really excitable, wild person.
No, because you could say anything to her. You could say, my father just died in a car crash. And she'd say, that's hot.
Yeah.
And we were like, yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
It is. That's true.
That's true.
That's true. And then it's like she's getting skewered. Like people are interviewing her in insane ways, suggesting insane things about her. And she's like, yeah.
David Letterman fucking coming for her throat in every TV appearance.
It must have pissed people off.
Oh, yeah. She really pissed him off, for sure.
It like gets under the skin when someone refuses to like break down.
Especially if you have any ounce of misogyny in your body.
Yeah.
That she is really getting to you.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's so real. And then Chris Applebaum, who directed the Carl's Jr. hamburger chain, and he's going to pop up a couple times here.
Yeah, yeah. He directed her commercial for Carl's Jr.
Yeah, which do you remember it? Because I do.
I do. And I remember Kim K's one too.
Yeah, I remember it's her in a little black swimsuit in a Bentley biting into a barbecue burger.
It was, and she like drips the sauce, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's God. Messy, messy, messy.
Do you know what's so crazy about that? Is it actually makes me want a burger. Like I know she's selling sex, like I know the whole thing. And those two should be mutually exclusive, right? Like, I don't want to be in a bathing suit on a Bentley with a burger. I, like, don't want to be on a beach necessarily with a burger. I want to be in my bed.
Yeah.
Watching Real Housewives of Salt Lake City with the burger.
Yeah.
And yet, I want to buy a burger from Paris.
I do too. I do too completely.
She makes that burger look so crisp and delicious and juicy and sweet and tangy all at once.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know what her power is over me because I didn't want to buy that Carl's Jr. salad from Kim K.
No.
That did nothing for me.
Oh my God. Yeah. What celebrities are hawking food items right now?
Oh God.
No one did
not
it like
Ariana
this.
Grande.
Don't.
You said you wouldn't. You promised me.
No, certainly
have
not.
Have you seen the video of them taking fake sips of their champagne at the Golden Globes?
No.
Ivana?
No.
It will haunt you at night.
I miss that one entirely.
They are holding their champagne glasses and tipping it
to
up
close lips
and putting it down.
Perfect.
I don't know what to do with it, frankly.
No, no.
I'm at my wit's end.
Yeah. It's scary. It's, oh my God.
But I've got to say, I mean, the rumors on the street are she is like number one contender for the Audrey Hepburn biopic that's going around town.
Really?
Yeah, she is front in line.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
I think the other ones, I think Lily Collins maybe still is in discussion. There's like a few other classics.
Lily Collins would be an obvious one.
Yeah.
But who do you want for Britney? Who do you want for Britney?
Oh, if she can act, and I don't know if she can, I really do want Tate McRae.
Really?
Yeah.
I want Addison.
You want Addison?
I want Addison.
Yeah.
I think she's got it.
Yep. I'd be okay with Addison.
Yeah.
I mean, Addison has just been so obvious with it. I think I've just kind of been like, meh.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's something so watchable about Tate that I really love. I know Sabrina's also going for it, but that's just not right.
Yeah. I think oversaturated.
Yeah.
She would. I don't know if she could like melt away in the way that we would need her to.
I wouldn't mind an unknown.
I know.
Yeah.
I think it's really powerful.
Totally.
Yeah.
But it can't be an annoying person. It has to be someone good.
Yeah, it has to be someone good.
Like, we can't have, like, Noah Centineo as Kevin Federline. You know what I mean? Like, it just, like, has to be.
God.
Yeah, I know.
No.
It, like, has to be well cast.
Yeah.
It can't be, like, a CGI Renesmee because they couldn't find anyone, like, any baby hot enough to be Renesmee.
Exactly.
Like, it's like, don't do that.
Don't do it. Just don't do it.
Just don't do it then.
Yeah. Exactly.
If you can't make it good, then don't do it. Put it down. Put down the material.
There are so many people that need to get a letter from us that says only that.
Don't do it.
If you can't make it good, don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it.
Just don't do it.
And then the other half are getting laugh along.
Laugh along.
Blake Those Lively. Blake Lively is getting laugh along laugh from along. Us in the mail from anonymous.
Oh my god.
Signed anonymous.
No. I'll sign it. Our letter stamped, custom, stationery.
I stop. I know. I don't know. I still don't know. And I'm posing this question to the Argos. Maybe DM me your thoughts on this. If I should go public, i.e. on the social airwaves, with like my experience with like Melissa Nathan, who's been named in the lawsuit, and like pull back the curtain on crisis PR a little bit, because there is a lot to be said. It is a wild world that doesn't really involve the talent in a real way.
No.
And I mean, yeah, I could really do a little like storytell moment with that. But also, I don't know if I want to blow up my spot in that way.
I know.
It's such a hard line to walk.
It is, because it's also like you don't actually control where it goes.
No.
In the end. You get named in the lawsuit.
I am. It becomes Blake versus Baldoni versus Beatrice.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Triple B. You don't need that right now. I'll tell you that much. That's not what 2025 is gonna need.
What a way to kick off the year, that we were just like vacillating between news of like mass destruction across the city of Los Angeles, and then two like kind of B-list celebrities just fighting it out.
It's the strangest thing in the world.
I will say, the most recent theories, I've been dying to talk to you about this. Have you been seeing? Okay, no. So there's a casting agent who I've become obsessed with online, who was the first a couple weeks ago to like speak to their chemistry. She was like, hey guys, like I know I'm gonna get absolutely like annihilated for this, but I saw It Ends With Us. I'm a longtime casting agent, and I think their chemistry is like fabulous. I think they have incredible natural chemistry, like those two on that film. That's what she says, right?
Wow.
That's how she kicked off. Her latest update, after reading the texts back and forth sent at 11 p.m. between Justin Baldoni and Blake Lively, is that there was a romantic connection there, or like Blake Lively was like harboring a crush, and either it wasn't reciprocated or there was some sort of like falling out over a crush, and that like romantic feelings were scorned. And that is what is kind of behind this. That's what's like driving this fundamentally. Because if you read the texts, which are so insane, because you and I both know, we know enough about this industry now, and we actually know enough about like kind of any environment, any workplace, where when you're uncomfortable with someone, you don't talk to them, you communicate through assistance, you communicate through your representation, like mm-hmm. whatever. She's texting this man at 11 p.m. She's saying things, you've seen the suppository text.
Yeah.
She's saying,
but I have not heard this theory.
Yeah. So she's saying things like, you know, like he's like, I like sentimental Blake. And she's like, never met her. Haha. And he's like, I like asshole Blake too. Don't worry. I like asshole Blake too. And she goes, I've met her. So is my suppositories. And it's like this kind of like playful, cheeky banter. And I know that I'm not communicating with someone that I don't like that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm shutting it down. I'm being like, haha, yeah, have a good night. You know, smiley face maybe.
Yeah.
But it's really not, I'm not egging it on like that. I'm not like making jokes. I'm not,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sending like huge blocks of messages being like, thank you for your collaboration. We're making something so special here, beyond the marketing, beyond the editing, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fascinating theory, and it has got me gripped, because if you look at that man, he is a Yassified Penn Badgley, and that's her ex-boyfriend.
He is.
He is if you put Prince Eric and Penn Badgley together and made a man.
And yeah, but also kind of turned up the dial.
And turned up the dial just a little
just
bit.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really,
it's compelling. There's something there.
The suppositories did give me pause.
That gave me, it gave a lot of people pause. It was like, I don't think you would just throw in a reference to something that actually goes in your butthole if you are suing a man for sexual assault.
It's like how, you know, it exists in such a gray area. It's like, there are so many things that are not cheating or not technically. It's like, but it's like, would you talk about your vibrator with a guy?
No.
No.
No, with a coworker?
Yeah.
With a male coworker?
And it's like, it's just a vibrator. Like, you know, people know that people have them. Like, yeah. It's not anything crazy. And you're not talking about, like, you know, what's happening.
Yeah.
But it just feels like lines are strange, but especially in a work environment.
But it's like, maybe I would make a joke about that, like, in person, yeah. you know, but I don't think I would be bantering about my vibrator in text.
Yeah.
That feels incredibly intimate. And I can't even put my finger on, like, why. But
why?
It does.
Yeah. Yeah.
It
yeah,
does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I know. That's interesting. Okay, but we have to go back to Chris Applebaum. Okay, Applebaum.
Back to Applebaum.
Please, we have to go back to Applebaum, who is one of the sort of central voices. He says, I don't care what anybody says about Paris. She's professional. She's courteous. She's a pro. She focuses, like, when she focuses, she can be incredibly intelligent.
Yeah.
And
that is the first, I mean, at this point in time, this is probably one of the first people who's gone on record to call her intelligent.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. And I also think it's interesting that right now, all the things that she's been associated with in the past aren't true of her. So she's engaged to this Greek man, also named Paris. So exciting. Can't imagine you dating someone named Beatrice. Screaming across the house for Beatrice.
Oh, my God.
And since the engagement, she's, like, not clubbing anymore. She's not wearing short little dresses. She's focused on business, and she's just, like, she's a working woman now.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, if you put this in context, she is only 24.
Yeah, I know.
But because she has been such a cultural staple at this point in time, we feel like we've known her forever, and we're like, it's time you grow up.
Yeah.
Miss.
Yeah. And she has been since she was a teen. That's yeah. sort of, like, when her family lived in New York, and we'll get into it later, but, like, her and Nikki were on the scene and photographed, and people were like, wait, we're kind of obsessed with these two messy heiresses.
Yes.
So Krista writes, my weekend as Paris Hilton's plus one starts with lunch at where?
The Polo Lounge. I was wondering if you were going to pause here and talk about the Polo Lounge and the drink that you ordered.
When my lavender lemonade.
Your lavender lemonade. Would you like to reveal the price tag on your lavender lemonade?
Was it $32? That's what I remember. Or was it 24?
It was like 22. It was like that. With tax and tip, it was $22 lemonade.
Yeah.
And then, no, the 32 you're conjuring is from the truffle fries. Because
of course.
We considered ordering
the $32 truffle
fries. Yeah. And we thought we can't swing that.
Do you know how much a potato costs?
Oh my God. I hate to think. I hate to think.
Cents. We're talking under a dollar.
And that potato is getting you a bowl. You yeah. know it's getting you a bowl.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You're getting a bowl of fries out of that one potato.
Yeah.
So that is
shoestring?
A $30 million mark.
Yeah. We should consider investing in the potato fields. So
there is a potato shortage right now. You know that though, right?
I didn't know.
Oh yeah.
So what happened with sriracha? Everyone was like, it's gone. It's going to stop existing because of climate change.
I don't know about sriracha, but literally that is why fries prices have hiked up around the nation. There's a potato shortage. They're holding restaurants hostage over this potato crisis. That's why it's now...
Take me out back and shoot me like a dog.
That's why it's like $12 for a bowl of fries right now.
It is.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
Minimum 12.
That's what I'm saying. There's a potato shortage.
You and I
start
buying up potatoes.
No, I'm saying we stockpile.
Hoard.
It's 1800s Island all over again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
We've got to get ahead of
we
it.
We have to get ahead of it. We have to get ahead of it. People aren't going to give up fries.
Oh no.
Not even.
Not in this country.
Everything's burning. Not. It's.
Everything's fried.
I know. God damn it. I know.
That's enough of that.
That's enough of you. That. Her usual order there is something that I think none of us would ever be able to guess in any way. Hot chocolate with extra marshmallows.
Nice.
Like I would have assumed a crisp Pinot Grigio, like a sweet white wine.
No. There's something infantilized about her. I think because she was like ripped from her home by strangers and put in a detention camp.
Yeah, in Utah.
Yes.
Yeah, certainly. So she's wearing a temporary engagement ring right now with a yellow diamond, which she isn't into, but the real one is coming. And the real one is a 24 karat emerald cut diamond with baguettes set on a pave band, estimated to be $2 million.
Can I tell you something I learned about diamonds recently?
Yeah.
Is their resale value is really bad. Did
yeah.
you know that?
Yeah.
Real diamonds.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Well, it's because also it's like if you wear them, like especially for an engagement ring,
yeah.
like you will harm them in some way. At some point.
My friend, whose brother bought an engagement ring and then broke up with his fiance, spent $9,000 on the engagement ring, can't seem to sell it for more than $4,000.
Oh.
Like bought it new for $9,000. Oof. And anywhere he takes it, they're like, we'll give you four. And he's like, ah, this is brand new.
Yeah.
From the store.
Unworn. Yeah.
Unworn. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And that was the thing. Steven almost got swindled because they gave him so much grief. They were like, lab grown. There's nothing in resale there. Like, you need to get a real diamond. Yeah. You need to get a blood diamond straight from the mines. And he, for 1 second, was like, oh,
yeah,
okay. And, like, looked at one that was, like, small and sad. And they were like, this is all you can afford. And he was like, okay. And then he was like, wait. Yeah. Never mind. Totally. Never mind. Obviously, we know now. She's not married to this man.
No.
No. And it really does show you so much can change.
I know, everything can change. I do remember the Paris on Paris era well.
Yeah. And he's hot.
He's very hot. Let's give him some credit here. He's very, very hot.
Yeah, 100%. Like classically cool hot. And we'll post
the photos. We're posting the photos.
Cool hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, not often do you get a rich man who's this hot.
No, never, almost never. And so, yeah, she's like, I'm going to have to get some replacements for this because I want to wear it around all the time. But when I go on jet skis in Saint-Tropez, I'm not going to lose my ring in the ocean. No,
God forbid.
And it's also clear that she is, like, super in love in this moment, which I find sweet. She's saying, I'm so happy. It's cool. I feel, like, really safe now. And he's just amazing. I don't even think he's real. Every day I'm like, this is not real. I thought that I was just going to settle and end up with some jackass.
Yeah.
Which is very honest.
And it's funny, like, watching her, like, wedding video now and her vows. And she's like, I didn't know who I was until now, until 40, getting married. And that's so special.
It's really sweet.
I just shows... Ladies, you got time.
You, my God,
there's time to be had.
And she's a mom.
Yes. And not, and again, not to her, like, late 30s, 40s.
Yeah. And she's clearly, like, obsessed with her little kids. So from the Beverly Hills Hotel, they're, of course, going to an upscale dog store called Fifi and Romeo. Fifi and Romeo. I'm going to pronounce it Romeo.
Yeah, do it.
Shopping for Tinkerbell, but also for what appears to be a terminally ill girl that her and her sister have befriended.
Yes. So the quote is, she's like about to die. She's the most popular girl at the hospital.
Didn't love this part. So it's stressful to think about.
But that quote, she's the most popular girl at the hospital, is really...
funny. It's darkly funny. You have to admit that. And Paris has a big heart. Like, she's like, she's sending her jewelry of just like, take this. They're like out shopping for her.
Totally. And I mean, I think this is the big prevailing like takeaway of this piece is how nice she is.
Yeah. And not nice. Like, she is like asking the interviewer about her family and like filling up her water glass. Nice, like in what she does and how she thinks of others.
Yeah. And it reminds me of how Kim Kardashian famously has a reputation of being lovely, like in this industry. Like, everyone says she's the first to set. She thanks everyone. She looks everyone in the eye. She is the best to work with. And the way that the paparazzi, like, who are interviewed here, speak of Paris is that she is sexy, she's smart, she's gracious and kind. And he was like, I doubt there'll ever be another one like her. I find this really funny where he's like, and she's always giving us variations on the red carpet. Like, that's what a photographer wants, you know, like moving around. Yeah. That's what life is about. Movement. And he's just like so stoked. He thinks that's so generous of her to like really pose.
And it is.
It
like,
is.
People are like, fuck off.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I mean, like, this is the era of people holding their like oversized handbags over their faces and being like, get out of my fucking face.
Yeah.
Like,
and she's there like, yes, twirling.
Yeah.
Twirling in front of the ivy.
I know.
It's sweet.
Oh, she's so cute. I really, oh my God, she is so likable.
I know. She spends $2,000 on her friend's new little fashion pick, the one that's in the hospital. And then we take a little step back. Krista gives us sort of like our big bio paragraph where she says, Paris, nicknamed Star as a baby, which feels fortuitous, and her sister took their first step towards fame in 1996 when they moved with their parents and two younger brothers from LA to New York to the family-owned Waldorf Towers. So this is very glam, we must admit. Like, this is not happening to most people, that they're like, oh, let's move in
to a hotel
and live a fabulous life. So they would, when they were young, they would crash parties at the hotels and charity fundraisers and all these like sick functions that their parents were like honored guests of.
It's very Gossip Girl. Yes. My God.
Yes, I think they were directly in the inspo. I mean, like, that is what is inspiring all of this. Like, all the Bass family, you know.
It has to be, right?
It's hotels.
It's Lily Vanderwoodson. Yes. And yeah, Serena and Chuck. Yeah,
yes, literally. 100%. They're like, they're on the mood board. And so then all of a sudden they were at red carpets like all around the country. They're in Miami. They're in Vegas. They're in LA. They're in New York. And they're partying. They're front row at fashion shows. And we love them. I mean, the way that we love like Kate Moss's daughter, the way that we love like, you know, Lourdes was in the news, Madonna's daughter. Like, yeah, yeah. We love the daughters of famous people.
Is it not just Lourdes?
I thought it was Lourdes. Shit. And this could be another Tony Lanis.
Oh,
and I fear that it is.
I think it is Lourdes, but neither here nor there. I'm sorry. She's not relevant enough to really make it a Tony Lanis situation. Don't worry.
And brutal of you, but... But yeah, so page six.
How could I insult Timothy Chalamet's ex-girlfriend like that?
Yeah, be careful. Be careful. He's hosting SNL. So they're on page six a ton, but then it was David LaChapelle taking photographs of 19-year-old Paris and 16-year-old Nikki and Nancy Jo Sales accompanying article that depicted them as like spoiled, reckless, rich kids. Where then all of a sudden in 2000, like they're the name on everybody's lips. It's like, oh my God. Which is, of course, it's like, oh, these bitches.
Yeah. And they became like the most we love to hate them figures of the turn of the century, I suppose.
Yeah. And everyone sort of like outwardly calling them sluts.
And speaking of someone that Nancy Jo loves to hate.
Us. She hates us. I think...
We haven't revealed this, what, ever?
No.
We've always bleeped her name, that there was famously like a journalist that wanted to step on our necks. Yeah. And ironically, it was over our very first episode, the Leo DiCaprio episode, which again, we do not advise listening to only for the fact that it is so stilted and bad.
And we were learning and we were children. We were children then. And
we were children then. We are women now.
Yeah.
But it made it upon her radar that we covered one of her articles, and it started well. It started well. There was a group chat on Instagram between the three of us, and
she was honored.
She was in the DMs. She was kind of blowing up with a kind of a live tweet situation is really how I would describe it, of just like takes. Like she was like, oh my God, I remember this moment. And oh wow, you girls like really captured what I was trying to do there. And then something took a turn.
Yeah.
Something took a turn. And I think it was back then we were ranking things or rating them on a scale of 1 to Pulitzer, and Pulitzer being like at a 10 level. And I think we gave the profile a 7 purely for the fact that she never managed to meet or interview Leo DiCaprio. So it was like, oh, we can't really, you know, make this the perfect profile, because it was, you know, it's a ride around at the end of the day. She never met the talent and sat with them.
And like, we loved it and it was iconic. And I just rewatched Titanic also.
Oh.
After our Kate Winslet episode, I went and I watched all of Titanic, all 3.5 hours.
And?
Fantastic.
Holds up.
Holds up.
Unlike the ship.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. It really, really, yeah. And we had so much fun reading that profile.
Yeah. And we were actively like, this is incredible journalism. This is the reason like we want to get into journalism.
Yeah.
We are so...
Like, what an amazing reporter.
What an amazing reporter. We love this woman. And she ended up just sending us some pretty gnarly, gnarly messages. Ironically, it was almost 2 years ago to the day, because our first episode, it's coming up on our anniversary.
I know.
And happy anniversary to us.
Happy anniversary.
And I was dealing with a cyclone, actually, at the time, another natural disaster in my hometown, and the devastation of that, and woke up to all these messages from Nancy Jo absolutely going off in our DMs about how we don't support women and we are just kind of like the worst people on the planet. And I think, was that the gist? Was that the full?
It was. And it was also that we like didn't understand, like we didn't like take away the right things from the profile.
Oh yeah,
like,
we didn't understand that she was trying to be funny in certain parts, I think.
Yeah.
And
that like parts that we talked about, like we should have talked about more because they were actually more important than other
elements
of it.
We missed some parts. Yeah.
And... They were bad. I wish we had them.
Yeah, we did try and look.
She was also deleting live. I saw some of this happen live.
Oh, you saw some. And famously, you had you'd smoked weed or taken an edible?
I had smoked weed.
Oh,
and I was very high.
I was
on my couch feeling fantastic. I had taken myself out to lunch that day to Sugarfish. You may have heard of it.
I remember it. Like, speaking of dining alone.
Yeah. Speaking of dining alone and was and dined alone and really sat there so proud of us. Like, I can't tell you where it, I mean, it was that experience of like, this was a sparkle in our eye 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And our first episode came out today and it was so fun. And how special that we get to do this and how special to work with a friend.
Yeah.
It's like these things don't come around every once in a while. And at this point, she had messaged us to be like, hi.
At this point, she'd messaged us to be like, I'm so honored. Like, yeah. This is so cool, you guys. And yeah. I want to come on and I want to be a guest.
I want to be a guest. To talk about who?
Taylor Swift.
And we were like, this is insane. Like, our dreams are coming true.
Yep.
I came home. I smoked a ton of weed. I laid down and then the messages started rolling in.
Yep.
And all I remember is so I texted you, oh no, oh no. Nancy Jo Sales is not happy with us.
Yes. Yeah. I woke up to that message, I want to say, at like 6 a.m. my time.
Yeah.
And I responded by telling her to fuck off and I blocked her.
I responded by explaining our motives and saying that we respected her deeply and would continue to.
Yes, yeah. I think, to be fair, we did start with that.
Yeah.
And then she continued.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, she came back. I didn't block her immediately. 2 weeks later, she came back with another barrage of insults. And that is when I was like, I'm actually dealing with a cyclone and you need to fuck off.
And that's really the risk, I feel like, of natural disasters is it's like you really have to be careful. I think it's like we all need to walk with grace as we reach out to people. It's like, why aren't they, you know?
You never know.
Never know what's going on with someone.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's why I generally, as a rule of thumb, don't berate people, because
I don't
have that chip that like lets me forget that they have lives. And
I also think as like a 60 something woman with a storied career, you know, coming for two women in their 20s who are just starting out and trying to make something, create something. It's a strange thing to do. But then when you look at this track record of her calling, you know, two teenagers, spoiled, reckless, rich kids, and branding them that. Instead of, I don't know, looking into, like, doing your due diligence and looking into where Paris maybe was sent in Utah. I mean, it all kind of tracks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, someone who could benefit from our advice, laugh along, is probably Nancy Jo.
Mm-hmm.
Fair to say?
Fair to say.
Yeah.
Fair to say. Fair to say.
Can we keep that?
Yeah. Maybe. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. But, I mean, then it just like, it kicked off.
I mean, this was really the rise of raunch culture. Girls Gone Wild was huge at this point in time.
Yeah.
Girls were feeling really liberated, flashing their tits, for better or worse. I mean, that was an incredibly predatory thing that was happening. But it also just so happened that at this time, Paris Hilton would have her own kind of sexual exploits exposed via a 4-minute sex tape.
Yes, that came out. And yeah, I would say like, it's like, to think back, it's like Entourage is on TV.
You're right.
Like The Hills, like everyone's going to these clubs. Like Hollywood has such a reputation and it's not necessarily a good one.
No.
And she did have her sex tape exposed. She was 19. And it was with a boyfriend at the time, Rick Solomon.
I do find it weird. It's the same name as her dad.
Yeah, that's tough.
Strange.
Yeah, that's tough. And he was an internet gambling entrepreneur.
Also not good. Also not good.
In his early 30s.
Yep.
So.
And she's 19. Yeah.
She's 19.
Yeah, very, very, very young.
And she says, someone sent it to me and I was like crying. I was so embarrassed, remembers Hilton. It was humiliating. Today, however, she puts the episode in perspective. I used to think it was so bad, but it's like everyone has sex. I'm sure everyone has filmed a tape. It's not like it was some random person. I was in love with that man. I was with him for 3.5 years. We were together. I don't even really remember filming it. I was so out of it in that tape.
Have you seen any of that tape?
No.
Yeah, I've only seen like the intro where he's kind of like egging her on and she is like very uncomfortable, like mm-hmm. It's not like she's like giggling and like a really willing participant, like this is what I remember. Maybe I'm like misremembering it, but it's not a cute vibe. It's not like kind of like the Kim K sex tape where it's like super sexy because she is so into it. It's like that's how it struck me, like the few minutes that I saw of it.
I know, I really haven't seen it. I haven't seen the Pamela Tommy tape, like
neither
I haven't
have I
seen
no
so many of the tapes.
Good for you.
Thank you. I try. But I think it's also sick here because we've talked about this before of like the Disney Channel stars and their nudes leaking and them basically being like, I am horrified and so sorry. And she kind of takes her apology back here.
Yeah.
And it's like, everybody has sex. Why should I be embarrassed?
Yep. And this fucking douchebag went on to release a 1 hour version of the tape, titled it One Night in Paris, and tastelessly dedicated it to the memorial of to the memory of 9/11.
Horrific.
So fucking gross.
Yeah.
He made so much money off it too. And Paris is like, it makes me so mad. Like, we were suing in the beginning, but who cares? Everyone's seen it, which is what kind of Pam Anderson went through as well.
Yeah.
She's like, let him do what he wants. I don't want to go to court. He'll fight me. I just want to get on with my life, which is fair.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would be in the exact same boat.
Yeah. And this came out less than 3 weeks before the debut of The Simple Life. So it like tinged it in such a crazy way. And I mean, her whole team was like, what the fuck is going to happen?
Yeah.
She was like, great, thanks for wrecking my whole thing. I just worked so hard. I have my first TV show coming out and I'm finally going to do something with my life. And now everyone in the world will see me naked.
And there is a quote here by our now president.
Yeah.
Our president, Mr. Donald Trump, because my God, we can't get through a profile without him popping up in some way. He is just so omnipresent in the 2000s.
Yeah.
But I got to say, this quote, Ivana, is so real. Like, I think he is bang on with it.
Yeah.
He's totally lucid here. He says, I hate what happened with that sex tape, but it only made her hotter. True. She left that sleazebag so far behind that his head is spinning. True. And he wouldn't have a shot at her now. True.
No.
I gotta say, from Donald Trump, that's a take. That's a really good take.
Yeah.
And it's all accurate.
100%.
Yeah.
And the thing, like the cherry on top of all of this, is that the reason that she, I think, really was able to come back from this is that she went on Jimmy Fallon and satirized the whole thing.
She laughed along. Say it louder for those in the back.
And in that way, then all of a sudden, this sort of catapulted The Simple Life. At this time, also, her and Nicole Richie, it is important to mention, are not friends.
Right.
They are not friends at all. They had like a extreme falling out. The details are unclear. But they are contractually obligated to like do another season of The Simple Life. So the show became a huge hit. She's even more in the public eye. Then she's just like on the rise. Guest is reaching out and is like, please become a guest girl.
Yeah. And that was her kind of dream forever.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's making all these deals. She has a book, Confessions of an Heiress, that was published just a year prior in 2004. It's already at this point in its 16th printing.
It's so insane and really interesting. Like an editor here, or her editor that she works with, it's like, yeah, we thought we were going to be marketing to teen girls, but it wasn't just teen girls. It was moms with strollers. It was little old ladies. It was gay guys. It was businessmen in suits. She reaches everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, if that is not,
I know,
a testament to her power, what is?
Yeah. And I actually think her next book is the cutest idea I've ever heard. She says, it's your heiress diary, : confess it all to me. And it has blank journal pages where like you can record your little heiress like activities
that would get you so
hot. Scandals. Like, it's so sweet. It's like, it's so smart.
I gotta say, like, Chris Applebaum is really carrying this profile as a random Carl's Jr. commercial director. What he says next is gonna echo in my ears forever. He says, Paris is an icon, whether you love her or whether you hate her. I was one of those people who always felt that glorifying the acquisition of fame and wealth is an ugly thing for our society, and she sort of symbolizes that. But when I finally got to it, I found a girl who is so in on the joke and so ready to laugh at herself. There is a real center to this girl. She has been hurt by some of the criticism about her because I don't think that people really understand her. He just boiled down the entire thesis of Paris Hilton as a concept.
One that I honestly don't think like we as a society were talking about openly.
No.
Up until like the last couple years.
Last year.
Yeah. Like, people being like, wait, I think she's in on the joke.
Mr. Applebaum is so far ahead of his time.
Where is he now?
You come out, sir.
And I wonder if people read this
Appletini's
at the time.
Appletini's on me.
No.
1,000. It's the least we can do. It's the least we can do. It's the least we can do. I wonder how people responded at the time. If they were like, no or yes. Because at this point, also, she was in like House of Wax. She, like, she was in the midst of making an album. Like, it's like all this stuff that we, I think, deem is like totally unserious. Like,
yeah,
she's like in a horror movie. She's making a pop album. She's in a Carl's Jr. commercial.
$300,000 for a nightclub appearance. That's what she's at right now. That's her rate. I mean, original influencer stuff, like pre-social media.
Yes.
Instead of a post, you're showing up for 15 minutes and getting $300,000, which that's better for me. That's like, I would prefer
that. It's more honest.
It's more honest and more fun.
Yeah.
Just like, instead of having to like take a photo, show up, do a wave, have a drink, keep it moving.
Dance. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
totally. I also love this quote from Nikki.
Oh, yeah. Krista writes, still both sisters continue to be tagged as famous for nothing. And Nikki, for one, is sick of it. She says, I just want to say to these writers, I'm 21 years old. I run 2 multi-million dollar companies. I work my ass off. Like, what were you doing that was so fucking important at that age? I feel very accomplished for my age. And Paris, I mean, the movies, the fragrance, the book, the album. And people just love to take everything away from us. I don't know why. Maybe they feel it was just handed to us. Yeah, we were born with a famous last name. I get that. But just look at how we took it to another level.
Go off.
Yeah.
Fucking A.
This is you like, didn't have to do all that.
You didn't have to do all that. And that's what I mean when I'm talking about like self-made. I get it. Yeah. Like they have the name Hilton. It's sick. But they could have just retired into society and like inherited their little 30 mil and just like kept it pushing.
Yeah.
But they created an empire.
Yeah.
And that is, I mean, not Kathy and Rick. Nikki and Paris.
Yeah.
The daughters. And that says everything.
I know. And Kathy, let's put some respect on her name, definitely performs on Real Housewives.
Yeah.
She's put in her little hours as well.
Totally. Right. But there's another source here who says she makes a lot of money and the system doesn't pay out that kind of money to airheads. You don't make millions of dollars as an idiot.
Yeah, 100%.
It's crazy that people were saying this back then and no one was listening.
I know. We didn't know. I mean, this is the thing and this is the whole thesis really of the show is history repeats itself over and over and over again. And if you look back into some of these pages, you'll find so many hints. I mean, look at that Donald Trump profile.
I know.
And look at where we are now. Look at where we are today.
We could have seen it all coming.
I know. He laid it out clearly.
Strategy was all there.
Yeah. Naomi Wolf, again, the author that we mentioned last time, she says she's the ultimate anti-feminist icon for a post-feminist world. I'm willing to give the woman all kinds of credit for intelligence and strategy, but now I'm just talking about the brand.
I mean, and Naomi goes on to say, she's always smiling. She never says much of anything. She's totally uncontroversial. She's managed to create a construct that's completely explicitly sexually available and completely naive and innocent and girlish at the same time, which is very soothing. It's almost like white noise in an overstimulated environment. Paris Hilton is like a palate cleanser. She's like, as semiotics would say, an empty signifier. So you can project absolutely anything onto her, which is the perfect situation for branding.
I am like tingling from head to toe. It becomes very theoretical here and it really sets it into like the Bush years context because she also says that like right now, this moment, we're in the most aggressively anti-intellectual, anti-literate, anti-middle class like America has been.
But so are we right now. Like right now, it's like every child wants to become an influencer. Every child wants to get rich quick.
Yeah. Books are all banned in schools.
The birth rate is dwindling. So it's like, okay, are we going to have enough workers to uphold our economy in 20 years time, 50 years time, what have you? It's like we're staring down the same future that they were in 2005.
Yeah.
We will survive the same way they did.
Everyone is like, the president is an idiot and we all know it.
Yeah.
And like, it's going to be all over SNL and Family Guy and The Simpsons.
Right. And then here's Paris Hilton just lulling us all to sleep.
I know. Kissing our little foreheads.
And saying it's all going to be okay.
Yeah. It's a powerful skill.
100%. And this is where I think Krista just like veers off slightly is that she says Paris Hilton is no intellectual.
and she admits to being a poor student who is too lazy to read. I don't think she was too lazy. I think she's maybe like ADHD. Like, oh, she actually just like can't. Oh, she is diagnosed ADHD.
Oh my God.
Oh, I keep sending you all ADHD is my superpower.
Yeah.
It's like, that's clearly she was undiagnosed ADHD and she like literally can't focus. Yeah. And I think that's probably what was going
on. And like
here.
Anyone who has ADHD out there, if you got bad grades in school, it was not about you.
No,
had nothing to do with you or how smart you are,
and nothing to do with your intelligence. Not a marker of your intelligence whatsoever. No. I mean, very clearly.
Yeah.
But then Krista says, you know, she's tremendously savvy and she has street smarts and she has a rigorous work ethic, and that is like where she thrives.
Yeah. And she's kind of like, she's made smart choices. So like right now, especially because at this moment in time, sort of like the nightclub culture is so prevalent. When she got engaged, she sort of extricated herself and was like, people are doing drugs, they're staying out all night. So she's kind of done going out. And her fiance loves that. She says, he hates going out, he loves me and likes staying home with our dogs and me cooking. A nice night.
So cute. I know.
Bride-to-be professes to be an avid cook who makes a mean lasagna.
He's only 22. He's studying at UCLA. But he's from a very powerful European family, like Greek shipping and oil. And now they got into banking. And
they met in Monte Carlo.
Right.
They like, that's how like their little meet cute.
Yeah. He was throwing a party and she heard that like there was going to be Paris's party happening. And she was like, who the fuck is using my name to get people out of it? And it was another Paris, of course.
Yeah.
But you know, I think he seemed to be the right guy for this time. Yeah. And that's really cute.
And he proposed in 5 months.
Right.
That's which is perfect.
I find this really interesting. Krista writes that the prospect of married life has changed her. Mm-hmm. And she talks about the dissonance between how she appears publicly and how she is privately, specifically with sexuality. And I found this absolutely fascinating. I really resonated with this. She was like, I think I'm sexual in pictures in the way that I dress and my whole image. But at home, I'm really not like that. I'd rather sit in bed and watch TV. All my ex-boyfriends, of course not Paris, but would be like, what's the problem? You're so not sexual. And I really felt that like as a teenager and in my early 20s, I felt like I dressed so sexy and I like emanated sexuality, but I really like I wasn't having sex. And like I completely relate to this. Like she must have felt so taken advantage of at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I can only imagine how scarring that tape would have been.
Yeah. Well, there's something so aggressive to me about assumed sexuality of like, oh, you must be crazy.
Right.
In the sheets. It's like, are you?
Yeah.
Are you not embarrassed?
Yeah. You don't know me at all.
Yeah. Don't say that about anyone. Or like even when people, and I know you and I have talked about this, but just like people being like, oh, she's going to be a heartbreaker about like a little child.
Oh, I hate it.
I'm like, oh, what?
I pulled Chris up on that. It's so hard. It's so hard to hear. I'm like, please, 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 please. It makes me so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Please don't do this.
Yep.
Because he does it. Like, tells that full story. Ugh. But she's growing up. She's growing up.
Yeah. She's weeding out all the friends that she used to have, like the bad eggs.
Yeah.
She's like, now I only have a couple of really close friends and they love me and they really trust me and I trust them.
Yeah. Yeah. And her fiance is clearly smitten with her. He says, I really admire what she does. She does not achieve that from partying. She's gifted. She's talented. She can sing. She can act. So he clearly, she's my soulmate. She's my best friend. She's the world to me.
That's so European. Come on. That's so Greek.
And also it is so special to have some of this stuff immortalized with like people who like haven't seen each other in like 10 years.
Totally.
I'm just like to have their words in a magazine somewhere saying like, that's my soulmate. Like that's who I'm going to die side by side
that's
with
really
in bed.
That's really cute.
It's sweet.
It's like a photograph. Like it's the same. It's like a photograph of you kissing or it's like reading an old love letter. Like,
yeah.
It just happens to be in the pages of Vanity Fair.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And Krista closes it out with, as my visit with the notorious Paris Hilton. Krista closes it out with, as my visit with the notorious Paris Hilton draws to an end, I ask whether she feels fame and success were her destiny. I think so, she responds. Ever since I was little, everyone said it, and I always wanted it. But it doesn't just happen. I've worked really hard, and I have to travel the world and work for it. It's fun for me to make people happy and smile.
One of the most likable people we have ever read a profile of. Interesting to see that it was coming through loud and clear even here when she was 24.
Yeah.
Like she has remained so consistent.
Yeah.
This is someone
Yes, I would love to meet. Yes, I would love to. I know you haven't asked me that yet, but I know. I'm chiming in.
Would you?
Love to meet. Love to interview. Love to spend time with. Love to get to know.
Yeah.
I think she's just lovely.
I would love her as a mentor, honestly.
Oh,
I feel
God.
I would learn a lot about a lot of things. A lot of things.
If she could Tinkerbell me, if she could take me under that arm and carry me around in a fuchsia satin dress, nothing would make me happier.
I know.
I really, really love her. And I think there's a lot we can learn from her, which is just true self-trust in your, just trust in your own reality. Like, the whole world is telling her something else. The whole world is telling her she's a dumb bimbo.
Yeah.
And she is rejecting that. She has enough self-assurance that she is taking that and flipping on its head and monetizing it and going forth and being like, that's fine.
Yeah.
I know who I am.
Keep talking shit.
Yep.
Enjoy.
I know who I am and I'm going to make something of myself, no matter what you think.
And I hate to say this because I also feel... it's such a complicated thing to be like, you know, trauma does so much for a person. But I think that when you have seen hell, you, that sort of the way that one knows yourself and like when you're able to fall back in love with yourself or like work towards self-worth in that way, it becomes unflappable.
Well, I think it's more a case of like down comparison. It's like, It's the whole thing, and people are doing it with the fires. And I talked about this 2 years ago with the cyclone. It was actually my inspiration. I remember it clear as day that my friend lost her house. It flooded. Her family was rescued from her roof. So truly the absolute opposite of what is happening here. But she said, the first thing I said to her when I was like, I'm so sorry this has happened. She said, you know, at least no one died. And that is what people are saying here in Los Angeles. You know, we lost everything, but at least we're safe. And I think that this is Paris. Like, no matter what happens to her, no matter what tabloid runs, what headline, no matter what Donald Trump says, no matter what guy tries to sell a sex tape and sue her or what have you, at least she's not in that fucking place.
Yeah.
At least she got out.
Yeah.
And as long as she has that as the bottom of the barrel, it's only up from here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having that as a down comparison is having that as like the yardstick to which she can compare anything else bad.
Yeah.
That's going to be her saving grace. Like, that's carrying her through. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that might be like armchair psychoanalyzing her too much, but I feel like that has to be what's like buoying her up, because who else could take this? Who else could take this amount of hate? Not me.
Oh, no. I think very few people could like live peacefully knowing that this is what like their reputation has been, that this is what people think of them genuinely, that people think like they have her all figured out and she should be embarrassed.
Right.
And she's a terrible example for young girls.
That's like, the other part.
Britney, similar treatment as Britney, where it's like, how can you destroy a generation with your example?
And I do think the difference between her and Britney is family. Mm-hmm. Is family and like a sense of empowerment that comes from like a good familial structure. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, just like, I mean, Kathy Hilton clearly made some mistakes, Kathy and Rick, but I think they're so proud of those girls.
Yeah. And there's clearly been healing. Like, you can't get to this point, I think. Like, they still have a relationship. Like, it's like, I wish her nothing but the best.
Absolutely same. With my whole body and soul.
With my whole body and soul.
I didn't know Paris was gay.
I know, me neither. And can you believe that we found out
can
that
you believe,
from this?
Can from you this? Believe in 2005?
Yeah.
She came out on Santa Monica Boulevard and Gay Pride.
And Gay Pride. And
no.
Came out.
No. Wow. What a time we're living through, my friend.
I know.
What an episode. What a time.
Oh, it's day to day.
It's really day to day these days. And if we can ask anything of you right now, go straight to our Patreon. We're donating all our earnings this month to wildfire relief.
We will match it.
And we're also matching it from our personal income.
Yeah.
So please sign up if you haven't already. We have a lot of fun content there, but that is just generally what we're doing in the meantime. And if you enjoyed this episode, send it to a friend.
Yeah.
Send it to a friend, you know? Hit the old 5-star, write a little review. It makes us so happy to see your thoughts, engage with us. It's like, actually nothing brings us more joy to hear what you think, because it's just us
Yeah,
talking to each other.
I know.
And frankly, I think we bore ourselves sometimes.
I know. There are moments where I'm like, oh, she's not going to be happy with me.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Yeah. No, we love you and we're sending all our love to everyone in LA and beyond.
Take care of your little selves. Move slow. No one knows what's happening.
Yeah.
We're going to be okay.
All right. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at Uncover Girl Podcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.